let me make it clear before we go any further. Boy, we love your pastor and Vivian, Jeff and Vivian. Jeff, right? I kept calling him Jack yesterday. I wrote it down. Nothing says I love you like forgetting your name. But we've known these guys for 8 years. Robert and I have been in the district for 9 years now. I pastored a free church in Pennsylvania for 8 years, before that in Tennessee for 11 years, and before that in the Chicago area for about 11 years, and before that in Brooklyn, New York. And so we've kind of been around, but we've known these guys and have enjoyed a lot of different times with them at Pastors and Wives Retreat, and just count them friends and are honored to get to know them. And boy, just love and respect them. What dear people, what wonderful servants of God. And I see the imprint they've had here, and I see the imprint you've had on them as well. I tell them this morning, without teasing, if we lived close, this may be a praise item for you that we don't live close, but we would love to have been a part of this church and just getting to interact with you and to see your love for the Lord and your love for the community as well. So we're thankful for the chance to interact. You do have on the back of your bulletin my notes there. And so if I get off track, that's not a hypothetical if, that was more like a when I get off track, you can have the joy of saying, I think this is where he is. And all I'll say to that is, welcome to my wife's life. 2 weeks ago, I'm already off track. There we go. People think this is a shtick I do, kind of a little playful thing. He acts distracted to reinforce the message. I've been here enough. You know better than that. 2 weeks ago, we were in Columbus, Ohio, and I preached on this because this is our district theme verse and focus for the year. I had them have a squirrel, picture of a squirrel on the wall. And they were kind of confused because their pastor, they weren't sure if that was referring to me or if I was referencing their pastor and Scott Burns. But I assure you that when a lady at my last church called me the squirrel pastor, there was no offense taken on my part. I like squirrels. I think they're fun. I know they can damage things and they can be rats with tails. But they're fun little critters that they're like free pets unless you buy peanuts for them. And you have no responsibility. You just get to watch them. And they just kind of move around. My wife calls me the squirrel gardener because I'll plant something here and plant something here. And I can't wait to see later what did I plant and where. Distractions can be kind of a fun way to live. There are certain people in life, Jeff, that are very focused individuals. And I admire that. I'm telling you, we went home. We stayed here last October. We went home. I literally tried to order my life a little bit better. I picked up some cues from you guys. And I came down this time saying, Lord, I need a break. Just, let Jeff be Jeff, let Carrie be Carrie. But there are people who just are able to stay on task. It's an admirable thing. It looks boring to me. And then I realized that I worry people like you. And I find that humorous. So I apologize with insincerity ahead of time to the engineer among us. There is method, there is madness, and I call that fun. Distractions can be fun, and they can be damning. Diversions can be kind of cool little things. The first time we came down here, we go, what's Fort Necessity? And we drove in there with our little 15 minutes of time and blew through there and enjoyed it. And got back on the road. And so this time we planned and we gave ourselves an hour and a half and we enjoyed Fort Necessity. Diversions can be fun and they can be life-threatening. Hey, let me ask you, up where we live, a little outside of Pittsburgh, we had a lot of distractions in the last year and a half. Have you guys had any down here? He says, wondering what they're thinking with mask on their face. We had an election. Was that down here as well? You didn't have one? Let's sing the doxology if that was true. Oh, my goodness. There's been a lot of things in the last year that have been a little bit on the distracting side, a little bit on the diverting side. And just when we think we've figured out certain things, we get different advice about different things, right? And just when we think things are settled, they're not settled. And just when we think that there can be some sort of semblance of peace and order, there's upheaval again. This last year has been full of not so fun distractions, not so fun disturbances. Even Pastor Squirrel, at times said, okay, that's enough. I need some boredom in my life. Have you felt that way? And have you sensed, and pardon me, I got a smudge on my glasses, and here we go, right? This is trying to help me. Now, this was an accident, but I often refer to this. Has life smudged your glasses much in the last year? It has mine. It has mine. And boy, this really like a really nice setup. I really do, I think, have chapstick on my glasses here. Huh? Really happy. Yeah, I think it was the mask. I don't know. Where was I? Let's start over again. My name is Carrie. This is Robin. What concerned me as a guy who's pastored, ministered for 35 years or so, is seeing in the church the amount of distractions and diversions that have come along that have kept us from focusing on the main thing, which is Jesus. That just when we start to figure out a little bit of how to handle a pandemic, we start to fight people over masks. And we forget we're supposed to be kind and considerate and forbearing and having this mind in us that's also in Christ. And we lose sight of the fact that maybe limiting myself for the sake of the gospel is a good thing. And instead we revert back to being good Americans. Ain't nobody telling this guy what to do. And that's a gospel diversion. And then it comes along an election season that doesn't have clarity about it and closure. And then January 6th, at the Capitol. And then a change of administration. And then a change by the CDC here or there and shots. And my concern as I looked out at my heart and our hearts is, Lord, what little part can I play in calling us back to the main thing, which is Jesus? And so this passage has come to mind to serve us in that regard of where Paul is writing to the church at Colossae, and they too were facing distractions and diversions from the gospel. Hey, should we worship on this Sabbath? What about that holiday? Well, what about this theological matter? What about this political matter? How do we handle the interaction of church and state? And a guy named Epaphras comes to Paul in prison and says, Paul, it's good to see you. And I wanted to come in, and he's under house arrest, quarantine. We're going to call Paul is quarantining at this point, right? And Epaphras comes and says, hey, we got some stuff going on in Colossae that's causing us to have some distractions and diversions. And could you provide us some reminders and clarity so we can get back on, stay on track about Jesus and the mission you've called us to? So Paul writes this letter. That's the setting that leads to the writing of this letter. Paul had never gone to Colossae that we're aware of. 3 years of fruitful ministry in Ephesus of getting people deep in Jesus and people coming and coming to Christ and being discipled deeply in the Word of God and then going out and planting churches. And it seems the church at Colossae was founded by people from the ministry there in Ephesus. And so that's how he knows all these people and calls them by name. And Epaphras comes and says, Brother Paul, help us out. There's a little bit of stuff going on. We want to make sure we get the smudge off our glasses so we can stay focused on Jesus. So Paul writes this letter and he focuses in on Christ in us, who is our hope of glory. And he tells them this great Christological passage in Colossians about he's the image of the he's before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. All things were created by him, both in heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones or dominion, rulers or authority. All things have been created through him and for him. And he's exalting Christ and reminding them, this is who Jesus is. This is who Jesus is. Here's who we're focused on. And then he goes on, he steps back a little bit and shares about how that's his ministry. He says, my ministry is to go out and tell people about Christ, and I'm willing to suffer for the sake of this, to stay focused on him and to point people to Jesus. And I am willing to suffer for this message because it's all about him. That's why my sermon title is, We Proclaim Christ. Right? Right? Just, you know, there's the world's come along, life has come along, the enemy has come along, our own flesh has come along and smudged our glasses like never before, it seems. Plus all the other things you've had going on, illnesses and employment issues and finances and family issues. And it's easy to forget that the greatest message we have to proclaim is not our opinion about a mask or a candidate, but the greatest message we get to proclaim is Jesus. Is Jesus. And so we proclaim Him, right? Yes. And so Paul in this passage, and I want to read for us a little bit of this in your bulletin. I'd like for us to read the two verses together there. Because we live in days of multiplying diversions, deepening divisions, and we need to get back on message, back on mission. Because our hope in life is in Jesus. And so we are then to strive to proclaim Him to others so we can present them to Him in worship. I'm going to read verse 27, and then let's read verse 27, 28 and 9 together, second paragraph in your bulletin. Paul says in verse 24, I'm suffering for your sake. I'm going to fill up the suffering in Christ's afflictions. So I was made a minister to do these things for your benefit, so I can carry on the preaching of the word, this mystery that was hidden from us, from all generations, but now it's been manifested to His saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of His glory and of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Reading together out loud. We proclaim Him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. I labor for this, striving with His strength that works powerfully in me. It's just two, Colossians 1, 28 and 29. Let's read it together again, then I'll pray and we'll look at this by God's grace. We proclaim Him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. I labor for this, striving with His strength that power works powerfully in me. Lord Jesus, thank You for the chance for us to be reminded of You, our Messiah, and our mission. What a great week. Hosanna, You have come. You've come in the name of the Lord. You're the King. Use, we pray, every moment of this week, of Holy Week, to be mindful of You. And we don't want to leave the rocks to cry out. That's our job. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be people who proclaim You and present You to others so that we can then present them to You. And may this time together in Your Word be towards that end. And may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in Your sight, Lord. You are our rock. You are our Redeemer. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, Amen. We proclaim Him. The passage is embarrassingly simple, but that's okay. I kind of need that at times. Sometimes you just need those smudges removed by getting back to the basics. Paul says basically, he says, my ministry, our ministry is to present Christ as fully as we can to other people so that then they can respond to Him as fully as possible and then we can present them back to Christ. See the direction of that? We present Christ to people so that we can then present them back to Christ. We want to work in the lives of people, God's grace through us, laboring, struggling, agonizing, doing all that we can to make sure Jesus is central because He is the message of hope that people need, right? More than any other message that people need to hear from us. They need to hear from us that there is a God and He does love you. He's proved it by His Son. And and this week, you ask someone simply, hey, what's Holy Week mean to you? And then hopefully they'll say, what does it mean to you? You say, oh man, it means God loves all of us. Man, we have blown it, but He loved us so much He sent His Son to die for me, for you, because of his great love. And he raised him from the dead, and just like he gave him new life, now he offers us new life. If we would just believe in him and call upon the name of the Lord, we'll be saved. What a great week you have. God has given us a phenomenal segue into the gospel. It'd be the most important thing we can proclaim this week and any time, because we want to present him to people in his fullness, this image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. All the, you don't unpack everything, but you unpack Jesus to them so they can call upon him and you can say, Lord, as an offering back to you. What a great joy that is. For that to happen, we're to be all about him. We're to be all about him. I grew up in Atlanta. I like grits with eggs and cheese on them. Sugar's okay. I like baseball. Hank Aaron was my guy. He recently passed away. We like dogs. You went hiking with us yesterday at Swallow Falls, right? State Park. Jeff and Vivian, it would have taken us a third of the time, but we stopped and oogled at every dog that went by. You know, we just recently had to put our little Jack Russell Terrier down, and so we got this dog hunger in us, and aw. There's a lot of things that I'm about, but I hope at the end of the day, more than anything, with all these fun interests that God has given each one of us, we hope at the end of the day that the biggest thing that drives us forward is Jesus, that we're all about him, that I don't just talk about spring training is ending and soon opening day is going to happen, that I don't just talk about how much we miss our little guy. But more than anything, I hope the preponderance of what flows out of us, the overflow of our heart, is Jesus, the one who rescued us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, that we would be all about him. And so if we're all about Jesus, we'll proclaim him to people. Lance yesterday, I believe it was, in the seminar, in so many words, I'm going to paraphrase him poorly, and that'll be on me, not him. I believe he said something about, you know, boy, if you're just walking with, living with, abiding in Jesus, you'll have opportunities to share Jesus. I thought, there you go. Absolutely. If Christ, who is your life, you know, grandkids, a new grandkid, a great new picture of their grandkids. How do I know? I saw the pictures. Not nearly enough. That's probably this afternoon now. Now, Carrie, you mentioned that. Let me show you, you know, Vivian's screensavers, this cute picture of all three of them that are lined up. You know, it wasn't accidental. This is part of her heart now. It comes out of her. And that's good. Jesus, our heart. If we're all about him, we proclaim him. And we proclaim him with wisdom. With wisdom, and we're willing to suffer. Paul says, I am willingly filling up the suffering. Christ has left behind for us the ability, the honor to take up our cross, to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily and follow him. I appreciate that Jeff shares with you guys the top 50 list, and you guys pray for the persecuted church. Linda, this morning, I remember last time, maybe it was Linda then, praying for a mission need every week, and you're mindful of the needs of others and the suffering that people go through, and we should be willing as well. For some of you, that means in a tenured position that if you hold a biblical view about certain things, you may not get that raise. You may be on probation. There's a very real chance that in this day of aggressive non-tolerance, if you hold to God's view of marriage or identity, that you'll be seen as a hateful, hate speech-filled person. Or they'll just assume it. They won't even ask. And we should be as gracious as we stand for the truth as we can. And the central truth that we stand for, the central offense, is that of Jesus dying that we may have a way to God. He is the way and the truth and the life. And so we proclaim him. We proclaim him, the Son of God, the sovereign Son, the exact image. We proclaim him, God's made known secret. And we proclaim him warning people. He says we had warn all people and we teach all people. There are, if you're proclaiming Christ, at some point you need to graciously find a way to say someone, in your own words, they must repent and flee from the wrath of God. That God has provided a way out from underneath his wrath, and that is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But if they do not turn to him, they abide under his righteous wrath. You say, well, what a way to do evangelism. Well, evangelism is telling people of a great, holy, creator God who loves them so much that he has provided a means that we do not have to stay separated, but we are separated. And if we stay in that state, it does not bode well for us now and especially into eternity. And so love says that we warn people. We don't necessarily warn them about how they voted. We don't necessarily warn them about if they're a Baltimore Ravens, fan. Can you say that here? Come on, you're close enough to the burg, right? We don't want to go into that love-hate thing. No love, all hate. The biggest thing we want to warn them at with grace is, man, I'm proclaiming to you Christ. He's God's mystery. Now God has made known Jesus, known to you through now. What will you do with the one who is called the Messiah? And then when they repent, when someone turns, then we teach them. We talked about that yesterday. Warning them and teaching them to help them to grow up in Christ. We tell them they need to get right. And then we need to tell people they need to grow up as well. Teaching them with all wisdom. All wisdom. You don't, I mentioned yesterday, a tweak on that. You would not go to do a Muslim outreach offering pork products. You know, you don't invite a vegan neighbor over for a barbecue because you found this brisket recipe you want to share. You know, you just, you find the best cauliflower there is and commit it to God, right? And wait till they go home and break out the brisket. I don't know how that works, but with wisdom, with sensitivity, with being aware of where you are and who you are with. Is this someone has a strong church background, but they've never really come to know Jesus? Well, you're aware of that. Somebody who hates the church, that thinks anyone with the word, did you guys have the word evangelical right in the name of your church? That doesn't score you brownie points with most people right now. The word evangelical has come to be associated with a lot of things, and some we've just absolutely loaded our guns and shot ourselves in the foot, and others have been laid upon us. Whatever reason, I do not like the fact that the word evangelical has baggage attached to it. It's a great word, but now it's a loaded word. So if someone asks me, oh, you're an evangelical, I'll say, well, what does that mean to you? Because I want to be wise in how I share Jesus. Because they may be assuming a ton of things about you that are not true. And so you proclaim Christ. You do so with warning people and teaching them, and you do so with wisdom, and you do so purposely. We proclaim Christ not just so we can get a message out and say, well, that's off my conscience, I told them, right? The notch on the Bible belt there. Is it the Bible belt? We're almost close to the Bible belt. I grew up in the Bible belt. That we proclaim Christ purposely, not out of guilt, not out of just duty, but so that we can then, by God's grace, they can call upon Jesus and we can say, Lord, I want to present this one to you. Purposeful. If you've ever been involved in any kind of ministry, you know at some point it becomes, you have to fight it becoming a routine, a rut, something you just have done for all these years, but you've forgotten why you do it. Okay, I'll clean the church again. Stupid kids smudging everything up. Okay, I'll teach that class again. Okay, I'll prepare communion. I'll do the bulletin. I'll count the books. It's easy. You get caught in ministry and it can become this drudgery. Let me remind you this morning that when you do that, you're doing it unto the Lord. It's an act of worship. And you're doing it as all of a part of honoring God and for the opportunity for you and as the church of God in this place to present Christ to other people. So if I can help, by God's grace, help reinfuse any kind of meaning back into what has maybe become mundane, it's to the glory of God, to the fame of Jesus, and the good of other people. It matters. Now, if you're about a busy work that doesn't need to be done now, Talk to the elders. The elders should get, now then, you reevaluate everything you're doing. We've done this for 30 years. It was great. It's a drag now. It's not a good thing. And we say, and you have a polite, gracious funeral, and you do the next thing. Which sounds like science fiction fantasy in the church, right? We've always done it that way, as it was in the beginning, and evermore shall be, world without end. Amen, right? Now, the Lord says, do things with wisdom, purposefully, proclaiming the gospel, making disciples, helping them to grow up, and then persevering in this mission. One of my favorite verses. Do you have like 17 favorite verses? People who have one favorite verse, I don't know how they do that, okay? Jeff probably does. I don't know, but today's favorite verse for right now comes after a resurrection chapter in 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And Paul talks about that kind of perseverance here in verse 29. He says, I labor for this, striving with the strength that powerfully works within me. Labor is the word copious. Copious. I'm doing diligently. He says, I'm not slap dab at this. I don't just play at this. It's not just some hobby. The abiding passion of my life is I want to know him and to make him known. I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering and the power of his resurrection so I can present him to other people and then present them to him. I work hard at this, he says. I agonize in this. This is the word that comes from the gymnasium of wrestlers. Are we far enough south? Wrestlers. I grew up with that. This is wrestlers here, right? Now, this is the collegiate kind, not the Randy Macho Man Savage guys. Okay, we're still communicating. Okay, these are the collegiate athletes who have trained, whose resting heart beats 40, who are insanely fit, who strain every muscle in their body to try to overthrow the other guy. And we're not straining to overthrow people, but we're putting that kind of diligence into our desire to present Jesus. Not a philosophy about a pandemic, not a philosophy about a politician, Jesus. And it's okay to talk about these other things, but if it eclipses, if we followed around each other on social media or other things, and after a while we saw that we were far more obsessed with those things than Jesus, then that's why I'm here this morning, is to call you back to being focused on Jesus, all of us, and to persevere in this, toiling, agonizing, dependent on him. I love the flow of this. I labor, Paul says, I'm doing my part, striving with his strength. Man, we're in there tag teaming, but it's him who's really at the end of the day doing his work in me. Don't you love that personal responsibility with the humility of knowing I'm doing it by the grace of Jesus? And at the end of the day, I'm not doing nothing. He's the one doing it all. I just love the humility and the responsibility that goes behind that. Because we proclaim Christ, right? Right? I guess this is the part where I should add the word amen. Let's strike out the word right. Let the record show. And use church, right? Amen. That's the word we're looking for there. Some closing applications. First of all, do you know him? I may have told you I spent 3 hours with Michael Jordan one time. Did I tell you about that? Actually, there was a time I spent multiple times. I spent 3 hours with Hank Aaron. Me and 25,000 other people at the Atlanta Stadium. I have his autograph. I have baseball cards. I have his jersey. I never met him. Never get a chance to. Maybe in heaven. I understood he was a godly, devout man. I don't know Hank Aaron. I can tell you all about it. Birmingham, 9-inch, nine, size of a baseball is 9 inches. That was his wrist. I can go on and on. I'll stop there. So I know all about it, but I didn't know him. Do you know Jesus? Have you called upon the name of the Lord to be saved? Have you said, be merciful to me, a sinner? And he says, like we were reminded in Sunday school, the thief on the cross, both of them started out blaspheming, and one of them said, wait a minute, this guy's done nothing wrong. We deserve this. be merciful to me. And Jesus says, let me just tell you the absolute truth. Verily, verily, I'm saying to you, my friend, today, you and me together in the presence of God. To a guy who could do nothing other than repent of being a blasphemer, to saying, he's done nothing wrong. We deserve this. When he claimed he's owned his sin. Have you owned your sin and known that Jesus is your only way of salvation? Again, Good Friday. What an opportunity. Ask someone, what's this day mean to you? And you can say, you know, for me, I'm mindful that I started off like a blasphemer, but I called upon Jesus, and he gave me that same promise that he was making a place for me and I could be with him forever. And he'd like to make a room for you. You want to call ahead for reservations right now. Do you know him? Are you growing in your knowledge of him? It was a kid, I studied a lot more about Hank Aaron because he was moving up to break the record, right? 714, 715. And we all know he's still the true record holder, right? Thank you. Home runs. I quit studying him. It was a fun era. It was really cool, but I didn't study nearly as much. Is that your experience? You know, you were on fire for the Lord. You went to vacation Bible school. You went to Sunday school, but you just kind of quit pursuing your growth in Jesus. Know him. Know him. Where do you start? Well, I've given you some stuff in the vine, a bulletin to read here. Colossians, study and pray. Colossians 1, 9 to 20. Pick up in John 19 and 20 and 21 this week if you want to read following along with Holy Week. Pastor Jeff could simply easily get you a reading guide that goes through Holy Week. You've got the daily breads out there coming up for March, April, May, or April, May, June. There's a devotional guide I think you had as well. Get into the Word. Get to know Him more and more. And then live to make Him known. We talked yesterday about how Sundays are the worst day at restaurants for wait staff because we show up there and forget that we know Jesus and act like our God is our belly is our God. And if we don't get the right food served, the right temperature at the right time, they will pay and answer to us. No, live it out. Let it be the next time you're getting service that's not what it should be, that they go, wow, thank you. Most people just chew us out at this point. Thank you for being so patient. Thank you for being kind. They may not ask what makes you different, but they're watching. When they at work, and someone mentioned this yesterday, but they ask us to pray for them. When you at work are being, oh, you're a holy roller, you're a preacher man, oh, you're this, that, and the other. And then they got a crisis in life, and they say, hey, can I ask you to pray for me? Hey, you're kind of a religious guy, right? Hey, you kind of a church-going man or woman, right? So you're living it out. You smell like Jesus, and that is both a smell of death to them and brings conviction, and who wants that? And it's also a smell of life to them, and they all need that. So smell like Jesus. Smell like Jesus. So then when you have a chance to share, it's not an inconsistent message. Whoa, you believe that? After the way you've been acting for all these months? Now, we all blow it on occasion, and when we do, we own it and eat it, right? You know, oh, you call yourself a Christian, you go, man, dude, you're right. That's on me. I'm sorry. I thank God for his forgiveness, and I ask for yours as well. So we persevere in this. We live to make him known. So what flows most frequently from you? Politics, the pandemic, playthings, or Jesus? Because we proclaim Christ, right? We still haven't landed there, have we? I need a hearty right on this one, right? Okay? I won't stop until I've sensed that, okay? That's the motivation. Because we proclaim Christ, right?
Right.
I have never been told to sit down and stop talking so rudely in my life. That's okay if we'll do this. Because we're going to proclaim Christ, right?
Right.
Let's pray. Lord, indeed, may we proclaim you by the way we live our lives. The kindness we show our neighbors, the respect that we show our co-workers, the love and patience we show our family members. And Lord, we pray that these would provide opportunities that we would boldly take to share the message of Jesus. Lord, we've had so many distractions this last year. Thank you for showing us that our glasses can get smudged. Cleanse them, we pray. Help us to refocus. Lord, if we need to turn the news off for a little while, if we need to quit eating such a steady diet of things that stir our passions and make our blood boil, may we see that, Lord, as imbalance and distraction. Show us those diversions that pull us away from full-hearted love for you, so that then you come out of us. You flow and you just trip over our lips very naturally. And Lord, may we have eyes to see opportunities in this most special week to courageously, lovingly steer and generate conversations about you and your love for all and our need to call upon you. Thank you for this church. Protect them and use them. And may we be those who proclaim Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen.